Welcome, everyone, to another edition of SCRC's Let's Talk Caregiving podcast. The purpose of Let's Talk Caregiving is to stimulate discussion and bring awareness to caregiver issues and connect families with services. I'm your host, Roberto Velasquez, Executive Director of Southern Caregiver Resource Center, or SCRC, and I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Marta Rañón, our Director of Government and Community Affairs.
Hi, Roberto.
Hi. Welcome, everybody. Today, we want to talk about intimacy and caregiving. This is a topic of interest as many family caregivers experience relationship losses over time, especially when caring for a loved one with chronic disabling conditions or cognitive disorders like Alzheimer's disease. And, you know, the topic of intimacy, sexuality, and sexual behaviors, it remains some of the most sensitive and controversial healthcare issues that arise in long-term care industries and among caregivers. But as a caregiver, your needs for affection and intimacy do not end because your spouse can no longer respond to your needs.
It's so true. I am so glad you said that because think about it. As human beings, we all depend on each other for emotional support. We want to be able to reach out to somebody and literally touch them, but we also want that to be reciprocated. Right. We enjoy being with others, receiving a hug, a pat in the back. And when that is not there, there's a void for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And we're not just talking about relationship with a spouse. Intimacy, again, is more than just sexuality.
Absolutely. And, you know, I remember talking to someone who said, it's not just, like you're mentioning, the sexual aspect of the relationship, but it could also mean different ways of expressing intimacy. It could be something as simple as sitting together to read a book, going to the movies, holding hands, being next to each other. And it goes beyond that sometimes when it becomes a problem for a caregiver when that is missing.
Yes. And it's part of what happens with the ambiguous loss, the ongoing loss, the change in the relationship that you are now the caregiver for your mother, for example. And so that intimacy that you had as a daughter or as a son and mother changes because you've now become the caregiver.
It really comes down to the relationship changing. If you, as a, let's say, as a daughter of someone who was very involved in your life and you had a great relationship growing up or as you became an adult, and now you are caring for your mother. So that role reversal is there. Now you are the one responsible. And it's when all this time your mother was the one that was responsible for your care. Right. So there is definitely a big shift.
But the dynamics in the homes change as well, because you're talking about, let's say if you're married or your partner, now all of a sudden you have somebody living in your home.
Yes.
That changes things.
Absolutely. I remember that actually was the case with me. I was married and didn't have children at the time and was caring for my great aunt, as you know, mm-hmm. and she came to live with us. And it wasn't something that I was, I guess, thinking future planning in terms of how this would affect my relationship. It was just this is what we needed to do at the time.
You get consumed with the care.
Absolutely. And that was my focus. It was her immediate needs. And I thought about it afterwards, you know, after a couple of years went by and even after her death, that I was changing the dynamic by bringing her home. And really, it was at the insistence of my husband who suggested, you know, we should bring her home and care for her. It might be easier that way. But it did change the relationship. And also to add to that, you know, as caregivers, we have so much that we worry about. There's so much caregiver burden. Mm-hmm. That we have to address during the day on a day-to-day basis. And you're tired. You're exhausted.
You're fatigued. Oh,
and
my
if
goodness.
You're a working caregiver, have been working all day, and or have children, you're in that sandwich generation,
right?
And now you're caring for an elderly person, and you come home, and what about your spouse?
Well, you don't have time. I know people who have said, I don't have time for anybody else. We can't just sit in bed and talk about the day because you're either so tired you just want to go to bed, or you're worried about other things that you have to prepare for that next day or that next morning, if you have to help with like dressing and feeding and things of that nature.
It's really exhausting. And I think that's why caregivers become so overburdened and so resentful in a way that this person is pretty much has changed and therefore has also changed and impacted the way that you are in this relationship.
Well, and I know as a caregiver, you know, we're always teaching at SCRC, at Southern Caregiver Resource Center, to take care of yourself, to take care of yourself. Of course, you're going to feel guilty that way. A lot of people feel guilty, but they also feel resentment because they feel guilty.
Yes.
And it's this vicious cycle. But as a caregiver, you do have to take care of yourself. And I think when you start having changes in intimacy, you kind of have to find new ways to renew yourself. You know, meaning taking care of yourself as a whole person, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, in a way that might feel a little selfish because you have those needs.
You know, one of the things that I recommend for caregivers, especially when I hear from them how tired and exhausted and even resentful they are because mm-hmm. the relationship is changing, is what you just said. Don't lose sight of who you are. And I know that in the moment, it's easy to do that because you're so consumed with the caregiving duties. But by establishing a routine where you might have a relationship outside of the home, you know, maybe you have some friends, colleagues, right. neighbors that you can kind of just pop in and say, hey, let's just chat for a couple of minutes and let me tell you how my day went.
Well, and intimacy, again, goes beyond sexual contact. It's about sharing. It's about talking.
About listening.
Yes. It's about venting. Mm-hmm. So having that friend that you can go to and have coffee with and just talk about your frustrations. And hopefully they're not judging too much, but you know.
if they're your friends.
They're your friends, right. But I do know that from a male's perspective, there's always this kind of, it's not talked about, but I've been approached by other men who are caregivers and have shared their frustrations with intimacy and more geared towards sexual intimacy, mm-hmm. but feeling really guilty
to even mention it.
Right. Because like they might be caring for their wife who either has Alzheimer's or a condition like fibromyalgia, where it's a lot of pain. And so they're maybe sexually frustrated and then feeling horrible about it because their wife is every day suffering with an illness or a condition. Some family caregivers, especially men, often find it very difficult to talk about this in open settings and even to other men who maybe are not caregiving.
I think this is a topic that's very stigmatized, especially like you're saying, in the male community, because you're not supposed to have these feelings and you're not supposed to even think about maybe dating somebody or having a friend when you're still married to this person that has this condition.
Right. And you know what, in research and professionals say that couples who are able to maintain a physical relationship, they report that this actually adds significantly to a sense of well-being for both the person, the mm-hmm. caregiver, and let's say the person with dementia. But you have to assess the other person, the person with the illness or dementia, their ability to truly enjoy and whether it's a good thing for them.
I remember a story of a caregiver. I was at I was presenting in front of a group, and it was at a facility. Mm-hmm. And this caregiver, a woman, was talking about her husband who was in the facility. She would come and visit on a regular basis, and how at the very beginning of her placing him there, because he needed additional care, memory care, she found it very difficult to even understand what was happening because her husband had found a girlfriend
in the facility.
Mm. And she actually thought, well, how dare he? He is my husband. We're still married. How is he having a girlfriend?
Right.
but he had dementia. And so he looked at her, the spouse, as this nice lady that would come and visit and brought him things and gave him company. But he had to introduce her to his girlfriend.
Right.
And so she was dealing with that and found it very difficult.
I know. And that is a big concern and a big, like I was saying at the beginning, a big issue for facilities and professionals in the facilities, from doctors to the aides to the staff, where they have their own cultural beliefs, their own values. And it's hard. Some people are on board with, you know, they're let them enjoy the company of somebody else. And somebody says, well, no, that's not what they should be doing. Or the family might be upset. I remember a case a while back where this older man was never married, but he lived together as husband and wife with this older lady. But they had been together for 40 years.
Wow.
But he was 15 years her junior. Hmm. And she developed Alzheimer's and became very severe with the disease. And the relatives, the older ladies with the dementia's daughters never liked him because he was 15 years her junior, and he was more their age, and around 20 years, you know, right around that age. And two of them never liked him. So once the mom developed the Alzheimer's and she was not able to really communicate or make decisions, she needed help with bathing and dressing and so forth, they tried to remove him from the home because they didn't want him to be with their mother anymore, because they might be having still sexual intimacy and they felt it was inappropriate. But this is a couple of 40 years.
Yes.
And I remember it was very challenging. So they were interjecting their own beliefs and values and feelings towards this person over what was right or what was wrong with mom versus letting them make a decision as a couple.
And I think that's what's true. It's really a case-by-case situation. It's really understanding the changes and how to manage those changes, and also accepting you can't have those expectations anymore, right?
Right.
If that person doesn't recognize you, you're not going to force the person to, you know, be intimate with you.
Right.
But there is a change. How else can you compensate for that? And maybe it's just by having, like you said, you know, just a relationship with the person you visit and you provide companionship and you spend time together. But there is a change.
And there's no right or wrong answer to this. There really isn't. But each caregiver, as a caregiver, you must decide how to meet your intimacy needs, whether that's choosing celibacy or becoming involved with other things or other people who provide you with that nurturance and that fulfillment that you so desire as a human being, because we all desire to be liked and to have somebody to talk
and
to.
Supported,
and make you feel good and make you feel like a whole person.
Absolutely. That's so important.
You know, I read earlier today, there was a quote, and it said that the most costly part of being a caregiver wasn't the price of paying for care, but it was the emotional price that you pay when being a caregiver a long period of time, and no insurance policy covers it.
Absolutely.
Because it's an emotional thing.
Yes, it's so true. I mean, I remember talking to so many caregivers who have said, you know, and we've talked about it in the podcast before, that loss, that ambiguous loss, that person is gone, that person that you married, that you planned futures and trips with, and it's now changed. And now what?
Right. And so what do people do?
Yes.
I mean, they often will seek out somebody to talk to. But at SCRC, we actually have support groups where people can come and share. And I know this topic is still kind of taboo in support groups, but at least you're among people who are maybe experiencing some of the same situations
as family
care. Or might
be more understanding.
More understanding.
Because they might have gone through that as well.
Right. And if you're not connected with SCRC, you should, because you could also be connected to our overall comprehensive services and then have an assigned licensed social worker that is a family consultant that works with you directly and can help address some of these things, maybe even one-on-one with topics that you might not feel comfortable even sharing in a support group. But even with that, it's still a difficult topic to talk about, sexuality, intimacy. And I know even for men, because this was another big topic among men, I remember a while back, a long time ago, when I used to facilitate a support group, one of the family caregivers was a man. There was only three men in the group, and there was seven women in the group. And unfortunately, his wife developed early onset. Mm. So she was young, in her 40s, with the disease. Oh, wow. And she's since passed, but he had been her caregiver already. They were both in their 40s. She developed in her 40s. In her late 50s, it was full on, very, you know, late stages of the disease. He's still 50. You know, 50 something. Yeah. He's a young man. And he brought up in the support group the topic of, you know, needing that companionship, wanting to seek it out, and was looking to the group for approval. And unfortunately, and I had to redirect them all, but unfortunately, that topic became very controversial, especially among the women there. And he, stopped talking about it.
He shut down.
But the neat thing is that there actually are men's support groups.
That's great.
And if individuals are interested, men are interested in men's support groups, they should go to them. They could call SCRC.
Absolutely.
And find out where they're at, where they meet, and start attending those as well.
It comes down to understanding and really trying to see it beyond what it is in front of you.
Right.
And just understanding and looking at it from the other person's perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, again, I know plenty of individuals who are caregivers, who their loved one, most of the time their spouse, either whether the caregiver's a male or the caregiver's a female, but the disease has really progressed and they're pretty much in a nursing home now. They deal with so many emotions, but that whole getting back to that whole being a whole person and having that need for a relationship,
it's part of what makes us human.
So, I mean, this is a good topic. I hope we bring it up again. Maybe we'll bring in, you know, a different aspect to it, but it is controversial. But it's very real.
Yes.
And it should be discussed. And that's why we're here in this podcast, to try to discuss these types of issues that maybe won't get talked about all the time. Well, that's all the time we have left for this edition of Let's Talk Caregiving. So I want to thank Martha for co-hosting another stimulating discussion about caregiving.
Pleasure to be here.
And I want to remind our audience that if you are providing support to a loved one, you don't have to do this alone. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. Just go to our website at scrc.care or call us at 1-800-827-1008. And remember, SCRC is here for you,
caring for those who care for others.
Thank you.